You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to Saturday's Racing Podcast. My name is Jack and joining me to take a look at Saturday's cards is Ross Briley. Hello, how's life?
That's fine.
Good.
Fine.
Good. Yeah. Fine. Didn't want too long on that answer because we have got races to look at. But
No. We'll just stick with fine.
Fine. Good.
Fine and dandy. Both fine and dandy together. It's a perfect combination. You don't just want to be dandy, obviously, but you don't just want to be fine. But fine and dandy. What a combo.
Doesn't get much better.
It doesn't. That's the aim in life, isn't it?
Well, I'm glad I've found you in this form, and I'm glad you're on the podcast today. We're going to look at Doncaster, four races on the final day of the St. Ledger meeting, including the St. Ledger itself. But what have you made of the opening couple of days?
Yeah, loved it. I love Doncaster. It's just it's one of my favourite tracks to watch and to bet on. And just in terms of the way the races unfold, it's very fair. It's a decent betting track, and we've had some good performances this week, I think. So I have enjoyed it, and that's what I love about the flat season is having those consistent 2-, 3-day, 4-day festivals. And it'd be sad to see it go, and also because it's sad to see it go because there's not many. Of these left until the winter envelops us in miserable dark miserableness
gloom.
Yes, gloom.
Yeah. The nights are drawing in when Doncaster's over.
I know, but I'm trying to pretend that that's not the case.
Yeah, let's be upbeat.
Hooray for winter! To be fair, every year I say I'm gonna sod off in January or February. This year, mark my words, this is recorded in a podcast. I'm going to go somewhere.
Yes. So
help me God.
Don't expect to hear from Ross in January. The whole of the month, are you going?
Why not?
Great. Back in February.
Why not?
Put a little sign up on your window. Back in February.
See you later, guys.
So that's Ross's future plans. Anyone stood out in particular at Doncaster this week? No, I don't mean any person attending.
There was a couple of guys milling around outside. Yeah. Who were a little bit concerning. Well, going back to, because day by day, obviously we've only seen two as we record this. We still have Friday to come. Mm. The first day, the one horse that went in my tracker was Thesme, who ran in the listed race behind Priceless, the Scarborough Stakes. Just because she never, ever, ever runs a bad race. She got lumped up in the handicap for finishing fifth in the Nunthorpe behind Mecca's Angel. She ran an absolute stormer there. It's a slight concern that her best form does come at York, and she might have been slightly flattered by the fact that she loves that track. But she very rarely runs on tracks that actually suit her run style down to the ground, just because there aren't the races for her to go far. The true front-running tracks don't necessarily have the classiest contest to go for. So she's been running at the likes of Goodwood. She ran an absolute blinder when run down by Boom the Groom. And again, York is... You want to be rolling at York. You want to be on the speed, but you don't necessarily want to be head down, barreling out from the word go, which is exactly what she does. But she's just improved with every single run this season. Her one bad run came in soft ground. I think she's going to continue this consistent form, and she's going to be worth a pretty packet, I think, at the moment. Thesme was the one that caught the eye from the first day. As well as, to an extent, Tyler Wonder in the 5:15 as well, who almost landed a little bit of a gamble. The only problem is the cat might be out of the bag there.
Mm.
Then yesterday, a couple of things really. I really liked the way Rich Legacy went about things in the May Hill, albeit getting the run of the race slightly, but I think she's going to be very interesting as a three-year-old. She's very strong at the back end of her races, and her battling qualities were very admirable indeed. She's very stoutly bred. I'd be intriguing to see what she does from here on in. And the other one that intrigued me a little bit was Lucery, who was beaten the 4:15. Finished third on only its second handicap start. Came off the bridle a long way from home. But just kept rolling and kept going and going and going. And I get the feeling that with a further step up in trip, he should have a little bit more to offer. So I'm looking forward to him going over a mile and a half. So they would be the two that have come out of the pack so far. And of course, it was nice to see Simple Verse back to winning ways in the Park Hill, despite almost making a right old meal of it. That's now obviously our two wins at Doncaster, both of them in not necessarily controversial circumstances, but certainly you get the feeling if things had gone a little bit more to plan, she could have won by two or three lengths in both those occasions. She does tend to make life rather difficult for herself.
Yeah, does give herself plenty of hard work to do. Certainly, and a couple there for the notebook as well. So that was on the first couple of the days at Doncaster. Obviously, they were recording on Friday, so we haven't seen those races yet. But we're going to have a look ahead to Saturday, and the first one we're going to have a look at is the Champagne Stakes. It's worth $42,000, this race, and there's just the six running in this Group 2 contest.
Yeah, but this one horse that I fell in love with a little bit, the way he quickened up at York last time out, and that's Rivet for William Haggas, who's going to be a fairly hot favourite, I think, in a race that over the years has been rather disappointing in terms of future progression. But my God, this horse's turn of foot at York was very impressive indeed. He still looked pretty green, to be fair, before he burst out of the pack under Frankie Dettori and fairly murdered a very good field. Was heavily backed in the morning. He comes from a very, very talented family as well. He's closely related to a horse called Alexander Pope, who went over to Hong Kong after winning for the Ballydoyle team, and obviously his Damn Starship was very talented as well. Winners all the way through the pedigree, and they always progress as well. So I think he's going to make it into a very nice three-year-old, but I'd be very disappointed if he doesn't win this. His main market rival is probably going to be Thunder Snow, and no great surprise after a good run behind War Decree in the Vintage Stakes, and certainly wasn't disgraced in the Coventry either. He was another one who showed a nice turn of foot at Leicester, but there's just something about that Rivet. He did have a good pace to chase, and he might not do in this small field. That'd be the slight worry. But I think he's got the skills to pay the bills. And Rivet would be the pick for the Champagne.
At this moment in time, don't think William Haggas is having any problem paying the bills, given his recent form.
No. He's in incredible form. He had a four-timer, of course, on Thursday. And, yeah, his horses are in at the very top of their game, which is another bonus as well. When you've got a horse that you really like, and it's running at a time when all his compatriots are running right up to the best as well. It would be bitterly disappointing if Rivet doesn't put up a very bold show.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of people backing it on the basis of William Haggas' recent form, I imagine, as well. So that's the 2 o'clock at Doncaster. We move on to the 2:35. This is the Portland Handicap. It's Class 2 race, and we've gone from six. I've given you 22 to look at here.
Yeah, thanks, mate. It's a very tough race, and traditionally a race I've kind of struggled with, as it's rather a middle ground. Again, the Portland, the 5.5 furlongs, not quite the dead five, but the minimum trip specialists do tend to just extend themselves enough to get there. So Captain Colby's going to be quite popular, I think, after a good run at York last time out behind Boom the Groom. But I did get the feeling that things maybe went to plan for him on that occasion, and whether they're going to again today is another matter. I would throw three at the wall and hope that one of them sticks. Final Venture has improved with every single run this season. Slight concern about the track, as he is a bit of a free roller, and if he does get taken on for the lead, he might struggle. But he missed the start at Beverly. He was drawn out wide. He crossed all the way across in a listed race behind Alpha Delfini. And despite that early stumble, he somehow managed to finish fourth, beaten only half a length. It was an incredible run. And again, he's another horse who doesn't seem to know how to run a bad race, much like Thesme, as we were mentioning earlier on, who ran on the other card at Doncaster. The other one is Soir de Lure, who won at Haydock the other day. Doesn't mind ground conditions, whether it's soft, fast, whatever. It is quickening up at the moment at Doncaster, and he ran a really nice race behind Bathsheba. It was a lovely sighter for this race, finishing fifth on that occasion. Previous run at the track, finished second over six furlongs behind See the Sun. 5.5 looks absolutely spot on. And I'd have to have a penny on Son of Africa. He ran behind Alfa Delfini as well in a race that wasn't really run to suit him. But he has another electric turn of foot when he gets the chance to use it. And I've been kind of following him off a cliff to an extent. So he would have to be supported in kind as well.
Plenty to go at then in the Portland Handicap at 2:35 from Doncaster on Saturday. Let's move on to the following race on the card then. We will shortly have a look at the St. Ledger, of course. But first, it's the 3:10. And this is a Class 1 race over the 7 furlongs.
And Richard Pankhurst likely to be quite popular as he started to find his feet again after winning the Chesham and then having injury problems and struggling to find his best form. He was much better last time out when beating home with the Brave. Got a nice toe into it from that front runner. And he should be hard to beat in a race that's worked out quite nicely, actually. Gelotta, who was well beaten in fifth, came out and won a little race in France. Convey, who was down the field, has hit the frame in decent races as well. But I do think 7 furlongs is the ideal trip for Tormore. Despite the fact he's been banging his head against a brick wall over a mile, he obviously won at Sandown earlier in the season in the mile there, beating Dutch Connection. But his 7 furlong form is pretty much rock solid. He's never really run a bad race. He finished third behind Make Believe and Limato in the foray over this trip last season on his last try at this distance. And I think 7 furlongs in a smallish field here is going to be absolutely spot on for him. And quite a few of these would want significantly softer ground, like Breton Rock and Ade. Buckstay is a big field handicap specialist, although he did win at Chelmsford last time out in a small field. But this is going to be a different test. So Tormore looks a decent bet to my eyes, back down to 7 furlongs.
Yeah, for Richard Hannon, Tormore is the selection in the 3:10. So finally, we move on to the St. Ledger then at 3:45 from Doncaster. There are 9 runners left in here. Had a couple pull out at various points during the week, but Idaho is obviously going to be the hot favourite. How do we see this one going?
Yeah, hot favourite, and for a very good reason as well. He's a relatively quirky customer. He's not the most straightforward in the world, but to be fair, again, with a lot of these quirky customers, he just doesn't have a great deal of pace, and I think this staying trip is obviously going to help him in that respect. He stayed on stoutly at York last time out to win the Voltage of Beaton House of Parliament, who reopposes. He's odds on. He should be odds on. He's clearly the one to beat. He's got £6 or £7 in hand of his rivals. It's an obvious favourite, and rightly so. And not one I necessarily want to take on, but I am duty-bound to do so if he's odds on in a Group 1. Muntahar is very interesting as well after that Chester win last time out. I thought he showed a hell of a lot of resolution to win that. But I'm going to take a chance with Ventura Storm each way for Richard Hannon, who had a good 2-year-old season last year and then has improved as a 3-year-old, but has certainly improved with a step up in trip as well. He's not necessarily got a pedigree that would suggest that marathon trips are going to unlock any extra improvement, but the way he's gone about things at Hamilton and over in France at Deauville last time out suggests that he definitely will relish this test. He quickened up very nicely indeed to beat Ormito in softish ground at Hamilton. It was a very smooth travelling success, I thought, and he gave him a very good ride last time out over Deauville to kick on at just the right time under Gregory Benoit, and they never got anywhere near him. I think he's going to have a lot of back end stamina over this trip, and at 20-1 he's probably a worth a tickle each way.
Yeah, like you said, got to look really outside Idaho for a bit of value in this race, and that's the selection from Ross in the St. Ledger then, which gets underway at 3:45 from Doncaster. Ross, thank you very much for your company on the podcast.
You're welcome.
Good luck with all of your selections on the final day at Doncaster, and the Racing Podcast will be back for Sunday.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.